Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to childrensmiraclenetworkhospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's childrensmiraclenetworkhospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
All right, so we're back there after that Olympic update via Westwood One. Appreciate them. We played no music. We wanted that to be as awkward as humanly possible. From Olympic updates to Mike DeCourcy, and he joins us. Mike, good afternoon, sir. Jacked up to have you on. How are you? It's been a long time.
I'm great, Andy. How are you?
Oh, man, we're fantastic. Does realignment have you all fired up? Because I was going to talk to you about the Steelers signing Melvin Ingram to a one-year deal. You know, that's what I... I was jealous.
Yeah, you know, the realignment genie can never be fully contained, can it? And the reason for that is mostly that people are always afraid of what someone else might do. And so they make moves that aren't really in their own best interest. And that includes most of the Southeastern Conference right now. I'd suppose that it doesn't hurt Alabama or LSU to have a couple more big-time teams to play. It doesn't really help them any. But for the vast majority of SEC teams, this is a net negative. A few more dollars in your pocket, nice. What are you going to do with it? I mean, how are you changing your programs with a few more dollars? You can pay your strength coach another couple hundred thousand.
Well, you're asking, and Mike DeCourcy with us, you're asking pretty much the people who have all of the power to take less power and to turn money away. I mean, you know, it just ain't happening, even though I agree with lots of things you're saying.
It really doesn't change anything. I mean, think about it. How are college athletics different today than they were 10 years ago? And I'm not talking about name, image, and likeness or whatever. I'm just talking, like,
go to a football game.
How are they different today? Like, what's better about being an NC State fan today than it was 10 years ago? Anything? I mean, you play Carolina and Duke maybe a little less often? Is it better? Like, what's better? How is your competition better because you went to 15 teams?
Do you believe college sports have lost, like, their soul then?
Yeah, I challenge people to say, okay, show me the school that moved and is substantially better because they did it. There are a few that managed it okay and aren't much worse, but there aren't any, like, and even those are hard to find. It's really hard to find schools that made big moves and got better. The biggest realignment winner of all is Villanova, because when the Big East fractured, they became kings of their conference. It helped them recruit better players. It helped them stabilize the way they wanted to run their program, and they've won two national championships since. And they built one of the best programs in college basketball. Find another program that did that. None of the football teams have escalated to elite status that have moved. Texas A&M had a nice year last year, no question.
I would say A&M has been
nice year in a long time.
That'd be about it. I feel like Missouri has been rather the same. Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, if you want to follow him, now you wrote about this, so I want to stay here. We have NBA draft on Thursday. We have Team USA losing. I still haven't really mentioned that very much at all. I want to bring this up because I agree with many things, and people can read your comments and on Twitter and everything else. But I talked about this last segment. Is the realignment stuff is bad for college basketball specifically around here? I mean, like, because
only it really is only bad for college basketball if it somehow down the road impacts the NCAA tournament, and we can't really know how anything's going to go. But you know, I'm talking to some of the former commissioners, the ones who have since retired. In the power conferences. And look, you get $1 billion for 3 weeks of college basketball. No matter how you slice that up, it is like money magic. In addition to the fact that it's the most competitively popular, the most popular competition really in America. I mean, you look at the ratings, the TV ratings for the NCAA tournament, compare them to the NBA finals ratings. It's extraordinary, the difference. And so you make $1 billion out of this. You are not making that any other way. The fantasy of a Power 5 tournament or whatever it would be now, Power 4, whatever, who knows. It's not going to be worth it. You've got magic in the NCAA tournament. People love it. And if you make that go away, you're basically all the work you've done with realignment to try to make more money, you'll slice into your own pockets if you do that.
What exactly are you fearful of? I've heard of a few people, and fearful might not be the right word. And Mike DeCourcy with us. What would be the fear there? That how would they tinker with the tournament that would ruin what does seem to be a layup, right? Like, give us the teams,
yeah,
give us the bracket,
said,
play the tournament.
If there was a separation that made it a Power 5 or Power 4, whatever, however it winds up, whatever,
right,
depending on what the Big 12 does or what Big 12 members do, I should say. At that point, does it stay as the NCAA tournament, 68 teams, automatic qualification, minor conferences, all that stuff? If you mess with that, you blow up the formula, and then you just have a better version of the Maui Invitational. It's not going to be worth $1 billion. It's not even going to be worth the proportional share of that $1 billion that the Power Five schools cash now.
Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. In the immediate, though, like the next year or two, because this is going to happen here. I mean, we're not going to be sitting around, I would imagine, waiting 4 years or so. Imagining Oklahoma's been more than respectable, obviously. Texas goes to the SEC. I mean, for someone watching Kentucky basketball, hey, that's fun, right? I mean, there's some fun there. Cal v. Chris Beard, who's obviously going to be a problem. Then Big 12. We'll have to see where they go. And just to loop that into something else that I said, Mike, I found interesting around here, we can, woe was me or, football or whatever, but basketball-wise, with what happens in the Big 12, there's a ton of valuable basketball real estate out there. I mean, right? I don't want to forget that.
Basketball real estate isn't what sells. That's like having, I hate to say this because it's my sport, right? But it's like having a lot of really nice garages on houses. The garage doesn't really sell the house. It's the kitchens and bathrooms. So I don't think that's necessarily going to move conferences to make decisions to expand.
So what about Kansas, then?
The only thing that would move other conferences other than the one that just did to make decisions to expand would be fear. Fear in the sense of, if I don't do this, what do they do? Because there's nobody out there. Texas Tech, Oak State, Iowa State, Kansas, West Virginia, maybe the best of the bunch, from a standpoint of appeal, but a fairly limited market. There's just no one out there that's moving anybody's needle. And so, really, I'm not coming by this independently. Dave Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News, U.S. Basketball Writers Hall of Famer, terrific sports writer. Stuart Mandel, from the Athletic both have written that they believe that the appeal is not strong enough to move the current conferences aside from the SEC to go and raid the Big 12, and that the Big 12's best future, and remember, this is something that people have forgotten, is that the Big 12 still is codified as what they call an A5 conference, autonomy 5 conference. They make the rules, and I don't know what the mechanism would be you would be able to push the Big 12 out of that group. I don't know what would have to happen. But they still have that. So if they went out and added Cincinnati and Memphis and UCF and Houston, they'd still be a viable entity. It wouldn't be as valuable a real estate in terms of television and that sort of thing, but there would still be some money in it.
What do you make of Greg Sankey in all of this?
Well, I'm disappointed. I 4 days after he talks all about leadership in college sports and how the NCAA has failed, meanwhile, he's been working for X number of months on this deal that benefits the SEC only and only economically. It doesn't benefit it in any other way, as I mentioned before. It doesn't benefit his membership at all other than economically. And remember, economically is not the end of the game in this. I mean, because you are nonprofits. So if somebody hands you $100, you have to find a way to spend the $100. And it doesn't always necessarily make you better as a competitive athletic program. You need money to be successful, don't get me wrong. But there's a point of diminishing returns. And I don't think that he has done anything for his membership other than get them more money. What he has done is make himself more powerful.
Yep.
I didn't think that was what true leadership was meant to do.
It's a massive power move. There's no doubt about it. We've talked about it here in the first hour or so. Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, quickly before we get you out of here, appreciate the time as always. Team USA lost over the weekend, and I was surprised because I had not been following Greg Popovich and the relationship there with Team USA. I guess what has stood out or interested you as the men's team at least struggling a little bit early on here?
Well, I think that what happens over the course of time, we've seen this with three other iterations of NBA coaches running the team before and after Mike Krzyzewski took it over and basically revolutionized the program. And I just still am astonished that after everything that Mike did and everything that worked, they said, okay, let's go back to doing the way that didn't work. It was ridiculous. Larry Brown, one of the greatest basketball minds of all time, maybe the greatest basketball mind of all time, finished third in the Olympics. George Karl, a high-level NBA coach, finished sixth in the 2002 World Championships. And 2 years ago, Greg Popovich took the U.S. to the 2019 World Cup and finished seventh. That's what we've gotten out of NBA coaches, and I don't totally blame them. Because I don't think there's enough time to be an NBA head coach. You're coaching basically around somewhere between 85 and 100 games a year. I mean, that there's just no time. I pointed out in the column that I wrote about this that Greg Popovich has coached 500 plus NBA games since he was named the head coach of this team in the fall of 2015. Mike Krzyzewski coached like 370 games in 11 years as senior men's national team coach. It just shows you the difference in workload. Now, you got to recruit and all that, but at the end of the day, coaching, having to coach 100 games a year against the best players in the world, there's just not enough time to devote to this, and it shouldn't be a career achievement award for top NBA head coaches. There should be a plan for this, and there was for 11 years, and they abandoned that plan to make Greg Popovich feel better. And I figure putting him in the Hall of Fame is good enough for that.
Who makes sense then? I mean, Jay Wright's on that side, Mark Few.
There are a few people, and somebody like Jeff Van Gundy, who has – they have this ridiculous system of qualifying for the World Cup now, and you have to play games – in the fall and the winter when all the NBA players are playing. So they have to round up random guys that can hoop and qualify for the World Cup, even though we've won, you know, we had won it 2 years, 3 years in a row, whatever, however many it was. I think 2 years, 2010 and 2014, we still had to qualify for 2019. So they round up this random group of guys, and he's coached them in that. And he's done really well. And all he's got to do, I mean, it's a full-time job, I guess, to be an NBA TV analyst, but it gives you a lot of downtime. So he would be an ideal choice. Someone suggested to me privately Brad Stevens, who is an NBA general manager, and it's a full-time job, certainly, but it doesn't involve coaching 100 games a year, maybe someone like that. Fran Fraschilla would do a fabulous job. He knows international basketball better than anybody. But those kinds of people who have the time, or a retired head coach. Like if Pop was told, okay, you're going to be the senior men's national team coach as of now.
Oh, I got your guy.
K's done.
I got your guy.
If he retired, I'd have been all in favor.
I got your guy. The guy's Rick Pitino. If you weren't in Iona.
Oh, my. But he's
Come
got
on,
a full-time job now.
Well,
now.
I know,
he's got the national, you know, he's got that international FIBA experience.
I guess
he'd be an interesting choice. I wonder how the players would respond to him.
You mentioned Fran. Is Fran allowed to talk about American players, or they all have to be, you know, overseas?
Good point.
He's not allowed to mention.
I think he would like that. I think he'd get a chuckle out of that.
He's not allowed to talk about Cade Cunningham. He's not allowed. NBA draft's coming up on Thursday. Last one for the great Mike DeCourcy here. Appreciate the time, Mike. NBA draft, I mean, you know, obviously we follow these guys, high school, AAU, you know, college, and then off to the pros. Guess what? What sorts of things will you be looking out for, if anything? I don't know if you're going to watch the entire thing or not on Thursday.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see who goes one. There's a widespread expectation it'll be Cade Cunningham, but the Pistons have not committed to that yet, which tells me that that they're maybe trying to angle. Maybe there's somebody they'd like better, maybe Jalen Green, and trying to angle to see if anybody likes Cade well enough to maybe give up an asset, maybe the next team in line or the Cavs or somebody like that really likes Cade and would like to have him and is willing to trade a little bit. But I would still go with Cade as the number one overall pick. I'll be interested to see when Davion Mitchell comes off the board.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a really nice job in the NCAA tournament and showed that he's what he's capable of.
The money's flipped. The money's flipped for him being top 10 now. The odds.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, the closer we get to the draft, the more the stupid conventional wisdom takes over. Like if you watch the tournament, you know how he can change a team, and even worst case scenario, on somebody like Golden State, he comes in and runs your second quarter unit, your early fourth quarter unit, or in late in games when you need somebody to get on the ball and stop it. I think he's an exceptional prospect for that.
I guess, you know, I lied. One more. Just quickly, Kofi Coburn going back to Illinois. That was something we talked about so much around here. I guess I will ask you about the teams. You know, we do have a couple teams around here, Louisville and Kentucky. I guess just quickly, Kentucky doesn't get him. You know, I would imagine rosters are pretty much wrapped up. Jalen Duren's still out there, but I don't see him personally going to Kentucky. Just quickly, Mike, and I apologize. What do you make of their off seasons and the Kofi Coburn decision?
Yeah, honestly, I think everything that has gone right for Kentucky, including Kofi going back to Illinois, I don't think it would have been a good situation for them if they had brought him in. I mean, at that point, you can't play him and Oscar Tshiebwe together. You committed to Oscar. Oscar has no way to get out of it now. He's already spent a semester on your campus. I think that would have been bad chemistry-wise. I mean, remember, Oscar was unhappy enough at West Virginia to leave in the middle of a year on a good team.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that would have been a good move for them, as great a player as Kofi is. I think you need chemistry to get where you want to go. And I think they have a better chance of having high-level chemistry with the players they brought in, with the players who chose to return. I think it's a good mix right now. At multiple point guards, they should be a better shooting team than they were a year ago. Mintz coming back gives them that leadership and solid multiple position ability in the backcourt. I think everything that they've done has been the right decision or at least the right result.
Mike, appreciate the time. We'll talk with you down the road and enjoy all the games. Enjoy the Olympics. Thank you so much.
Okay, you bet, Andy. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 680 1057 at TSN. Mike, the Sporting News, Big Ten Network. You can also find him. He does the brackets each season at Fox Sports. Go ahead, Grossman.
I am so ready for USA men's basketball senior head coach Rick Pitino.
Oh, he's the guy. Am I wrong?
He fits it perfectly.
He'd be perfect for that. Plus, I think the players would think they like Ricky P. I think they like him more than Popovich.
I agree.
We have Team USA guys right now complain about the offense being ran. Really? That loss bothered me. And I know Diener talked about it. I should have led with it, but I just felt like, you know, the Governor's Cup and some of the things that we've talked about with college football were more pressing, but... You know the saddest thing that I've ever said on this show? Grossman, I'm getting ready to tell you. Are you ready right now?
Tell me.
Are you ready right now? This is the saddest thing. I paid for Peacock Plus yesterday.
Oh, no.
I am one of the... I'm one of those people that I wanted to watch the game. This is one of the things that I like. I don't know. I'm not like this overly patriotic guy. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm a normal guy. I appreciate our freedoms, but I'm not around the office. You know, we don't salute. You guys don't see, you know what I'm saying? I'm a normal guy. By the way, am I still connected, Grossman?
Yes, you are.
Okay, sorry. I thought I'd drop there for a second. And I'm watching the Olympics right now. But I take this weird pride for some reason. And I wanted to watch the game, and I was up, right? And I swear to you, when I looked, I texted Diener. Now he's texting me, and he's mad at me. I bent the knee, like, immediately. Now, I didn't want one of Phil Baker's streams. I didn't want one of Maben's streams. I didn't want to be texting these guys at 7:57 in the morning. You know what I did, Grossman? I bent the knee. That's what I did. On all my devices, what saved? I don't think it was, you know, it probably was Apple Pay. If it wasn't, it's one click of the iPad, and it's done. And it's $4.99. And I have it on my calendar the second the Olympics are done, okay, to get rid of it. Is there a show that I need to watch? Well, don't give me The Office. The Office, Perrin Johnson said this morning. Perrin goes, I have Peacock Plus for The Office. The Office is on Comedy Central all night, at least 5 days a week on Comedy Central. At least 5 days a week. That is a minimum. South Park's one day and then some mixture of... you know I'm right on that, Grossman.
Yeah, because I'm mad when The Office is on because I want it to be South Park.
And it's always The Office. It's got to be 5 nights a week.
I think it's a pretty even split between the two.
But I bent the knee. It's 8 a.m. and I'm bending the knee. Oh. And then they lost. That's how my day started. And then the Yankees lost after giving up yet another game to the Reds. That's how my day. Thank God I was in elite pool country on Sunday, Grossman. Elite pool country.
Hey, we need to hear more about this.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to it. That's where I was. I mean, that's it.
Elite pool country?
You don't worry about where that's at. It might have something to do with Fuzzy Zeller. You just leave that alone. Yeah, you just don't worry about that. But my goodness, I bent the knee, and I spent the $4, and I got Peacock Plus, and I watched Team USA lose. And I don't know why. It bothered me for like 3 hours. I went out and mowed the lawn. Do you understand that? I mowed the lawn and listened to Nick Curran talk about conference realignment. Ugh. Ugh. By the way, we do have Rob Cassidy going to join us. But I bent the knee, man. I know Diener's upset. I mean, Phil Baker, I mean, he had some, what, didn't Phil's, it was like, it was on, like, phone only or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, what are we doing here?
You know what I did?
What did you do?
Oh,
you
I was
awake.
I was sleeping.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning.
I was sleeping.
On a Sunday,
so
that you're not working.
I saw that they lost. I was got mad, and then I watched the replay. at like four, whenever they put it on regular TV.
They had three wide open threes. I heard Issel and Pride, they're like, they're taking threes. I'm like, that's a shorter three-point line. It's Kevin Durant with two walk-in threes. Like, that's what I'll take.
Just make it.
Oh, my God. And isn't Evan Fournier, he's the guy that you don't Google his name, right?
Right. You do not Google his name. He scored 28 points, and he is the eighth man on a Celtics team that got swept out of the first round of the playoffs.
And their coach lost his job, but he got an upgrade because he's Brad Stevens. A texter makes a great point. If we give him Team USA, that would be the only way now Brad Stevens can step up. It really is. Think about it.
I mean, it's a given that he's going to get it, right?
Yeah. Now, I actually think he is.
He'll take the Celtics to one conference finals, or they lose to the Nets in five games, and they'll promote him to U.S. men's basketball coach.
Texas says, Peacock subscriber base doubled yesterday. I should have bought stock. Man, I'll put that up as a poll question. Did you buy Peacock Plus yesterday to watch the Team USA men's basketball team? Texas says, how about Perrin getting mad that Grossman corrected him about DeAndre Ayton?
Oh, yeah, that sound.
Were you aware how much of a DB you were being there? Is Perrin fuming over that? Here's my thing.
I mean,
I think he's mad at you.
Look, if you're going to come up with a list, don't have the second guy you say not be from the country. He's not eligible to play for the United States of America, Perrin. I love you, but he's just not eligible. Well, I can't hear that and just let it go by and say nothing. I just can't.
What are you, the gatekeeper to facts on the radio? Is that what you are?
No, I say stuff that's wrong all the time. But
Perrin might be fuming at you. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that relationship. Well, should we play the sound right now since we've already talked about it?
Sure.
How long is this sound?
There's two parts. It's a total of like a minute seven.
Okay, so this is a minute.
The full thing's a minute seven.
This is Perrin having a list, right?
Yes.
Of players that he would rather have that would fit this team, Team USA, instead of a couple guys that they have right now. Okay? By the way, he is right. The one thing Perrin was right on, Zach LaVine hasn't played. Or Levine, however the LaVine. Hell you say his name. Levine's the other guy, right? The music guy. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Adam LaVine, right?
Adam LaVine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're both LaVine. Yeah.
Look at that. Okay, well, there you go. But he hasn't played a big game in since when? He didn't play one at UCLA.
He hasn't played since high school. I'm totally with Perrin on that one. Like, yeah, get LaVine like, the heck
he's
out
a,
of there,
He's
man.
A really good player, but I'm like, anyway. So, yeah, this team might be doomed, which will make me sad, and I paid $4.99 to a huge conglomerate, so NBC can get even greedier, that people will bend the knee to them, and my $5, I'm ashamed of it, but I did it. Damn it, I did it. So, anyway, all right, so set up this sound. This is the list. And then you correct Perrin, and then there's some awkward radio, right?
Correct.
All right.
Speaking of the Olympics and Team USA, I was writing down guys that are 25 years of age and under who I think will be a better roster than what we've seen today. And so my first guy is one, Donovan Mitchell.
But he turned it down. Hurt. Yeah.
I'm just.
Oh well, I mean, there's no question they could put together a better team, but the injuries have derailed a lot of those here.
I don't understand why we didn't try to get DeAndre Ayton for some size and a guy that's mobile.
He's from the Bahamas.
Oh. I mean, but you know, so was Tim Duncan, but he played for the American team in the Olympics. So to your point, but thank you, Jack.
But is he playing?
He's not playing with the Bahamas national team.
Duncan is from the Virgin Islands, by the way. Somebody's texting that.
That's why I said. But he played for the
Bahamas. That's different than the Bahamas.
Same premise.
That's a U.S. territory. That's a U.S. territory.
Yeah, but he could like so. If you don't play for your senior national team, mm-hmm. you can make a choice to play for one. DeAndre Ayton can make the choice to play for one.
I don't think DeAndre Ayton's a U.S. citizen.
If he chooses to be one, he could play.
But he's not right now.
He's not right now. I'm not going to get in the weeds of all that.
You're badgering him.
He's not a U.S. citizen.
You're badgering him.
You can't put him on the list if he's not a U.S. citizen.
You sounded so happy on the Diener show today. Did Diener ever want to cut you off? I couldn't really tell. I thought there was like one or two times.
Diener texted me that he agrees that I was in the right on this.
What, with that sound?
Yeah.
Well, of course you were in the right there, but you just kept badgering Perrin.
Well,
you kind of knew he was wrong there,
right? I knew he was wrong. Yes.
Instead of being the nice guy, you nailed him to a wall. You went for the kill.
Yeah.
You went for the kill on Perrin Johnson there. Wow. I don't know what's going in. Wow.
You're stunned by this.
I am stunned. Well, you don't see the big deal here, right?
No,
you just
not
killed
really.
Perrin. You tried to humiliate Perrin Johnson.
I did not try to humiliate him.
And how do you know DeAndre Ayton is from the Bahamas?
Because they ran only about 300 things about it the 1 year he was at Arizona. Every Arizona game that was ever broadcast, they had a feature on it.
Did they really?
Yes, every single time.
I didn't pay attention.
It was the DeAndre Ayton version of, did you know Rick Pitino recruited Ryan McMahon? Or did you know Chris Mack's wife is from Louisville? Like, it was that type of thing with him at Arizona.
Texas says, Jack going in on Perrin. Perrin has to avenge this. Texas says, Perrin could have squashed it and said, you're right, Jack, I was mistaken.
And it would have been the end of it.
Texas says, Perrin was dug in.
He did dig in.
Well, I forget who was. The only guy I wanted on the team was Trae Young. I mean, sure, yeah. Donovan were available,
which
that would
Perrin
be fine.
Did say Trae Young and Zion later on in his list, which I'm very much with him. And if Donovan Mitchell was healthy, he would have been a good help also.
I will not say who told me this. I will not give up my sources. A prominent basketball voice in the area. Damian Lillard's overrated. You like that, don't you?
I like Dame a lot.
Don't call him Dame. You don't know him.
You're not wrong.
Dame.
Right, I like Damian Lillard a lot.
What's Dame doing? Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
Texas says, you are shining, Jack. Texas says, insert the hey guys want to see a dead body meme here. Texas says, Jack needs to do that with Big Rig now.
I will when you know, Big Rig.
Which he's going to be flying in here tomorrow. You realize that, don't
tomorrow.
You?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what he would have wanted to talk about today? It's not even on your radar right now, and that's something I was going to bring up. And I don't even know the guy's name. He would have brought up that over the weekend Satterfield got a JUCO tight end.
Yeah, that is not on the radar.
But it's not something that we're ever going to mention.
Nope.
We would never mention that. When, you know, we're just doing the hosting like this, we would never have that conversation. Oh, that's fantastic. 437-9680. Eric Bledsoe just got traded. You ready for this? The Grizzlies finalizing a trade to send Jonas Valanciunas draft picks to the Pelicans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and picks. I mean, that's got to be, what, the sixth team that Eric Bledsoe's been on? Fifth team? Sixth team?
He was on the Clippers.
Well, he's on the Bucks.
He was on the Suns, the Bucks, the Pelicans, now the Grizzlies. So that's at least five.
And I want to say there's probably another one there, but I don't know. Yeah.
He might have been on the Rockets.
Was he on the Rockets? Texas says, Jack better watch out. I've seen Perrin almost throw down at a kickball game. Texas says, Jack has sharpened his fangs. He's now a predator. Texas says, Big Wiz should be on Team USA.
Those are the only five. He didn't play for Houston.
Texas says, should we call Steph Curry Steven? I don't know what that means. Texas says, I'm not getting vaccinated and killed. Texas says, I'm not getting vaccinated until Clay Travis says it's okay. Let's take a break. 437-9680. Quick break. In about 10 minutes, we'll catch Rob Cassidy on the fly. We'll talk with him, a little peach jam, and we'll get you to 6 o'clock here on this Monday.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
If it was up to you to name the team, what would you have named it?
Cleveland Trash Cans.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Looking for a job, GE Appliances. Guys, they're hiring full-time. All shifts are available. Join the manufacturing team today. Make up to $660 per week. Apply at MakeItAtThePark.com. GE Appliances, again, MakeItAtThePark.com. Rob Cassidy from Rivals is going to join us. We'll wrap up the Peach Jam, any Jalen Duren discussion. UK, U of L recruiting. We'll spend, you know, 7, 8, 9 minutes or so catching up with him over the weekend. A couple things. We have about 3, 4 minutes here before we need to call him. Jack, I didn't hear one thing about Big Ten Media Days. Nothing. Did something happen? Did anything happen? Did you guys mention it on Friday? Like, I haven't seen a story. I haven't seen Twitter stuff. I've seen absolutely nothing about Big Ten Media Days. I mean, Ohio State didn't say anything. What happened? Anything?
Not really. I mean, it was all dominated by the Texas and Oklahoma news. So, I mean, like, there was everyone was reacting to that. It got totally overshadowed by it. I mean, other than me, I watched Tom Allen's presser on Friday. He declared that it's their goal to make the Big Ten title game. So, I that would be great, I guess. Michael Penix said that he's healthy and ready to go for game one. And
by the way, can I pause you with the Michael Penix news?
Yep.
That is actually news. If we actually cared, Grossman, that would be the
that
lead.
Would be in the sports center.
That
if
would
we
be
were
a
Bloomington
big deal,
right now.
But that's fine. Yeah. You need to integrate it within the sports centers because, you know, these guys ain't going to know. Process has no idea. Nick Valvano, you know, he ain't going to know. Brian Hall, you got to help him when it comes to the Indiana stuff. By the way, we have TJ Walker responding to Blankenbaker on Twitter.
Oh,
2 minutes ago. So Blankenbaker is battling Justin Roiland and everybody else. The conversation today, in part, has been about does the Governor's Cup survive if the SEC not only expands but goes to 10 conference games. That has been a discussion on the football side. They go to maybe 10 games. What then happens to the Governor's Cup and all of that good stuff. So Blankenbaker, we will play the sound at the top. How does that sound, Jack? At the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we will play that sound again.
He called him Spankenbaker.
Okay, so we will get to that. Blankenbaker has been tweeting this afternoon. He is enraged by this, is really the best way for me to put it. So Blank puts out the non-conference schedule for Kentucky since 2015, and it's a joke. Listen, I've done that exercise here, okay? TJ Walker responds, I want UK to beef up the out-of-conference of the OOC. More than anyone, especially with U of L being the joke of the ACC. But Spankin' Taker also criticized UK one time for having 8 home games, which made no sense. So let the adults talk scheduling, and you worry about your coach moving back near Ma and Pa. What a glorious afternoon.
It really is.
And this is why you guys always need to play. B-Futech hit me back, and he's like, I know Texas and Texas A&M fans. Isn't that what he said? He messaged me. Oh, yeah. He goes, I know Texas and A&M alum, and like they don't want to face each other. Missouri and Kansas had some of that. But like here in the new rendition or in this rendition of the UK-UofL rivalry, like –
You want them to play. Well, everyone wants them to play.
It would be so violent towards the administrators who didn't do
didn't,
that.
Yes.
Right? And I mean that on both sides. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. All right, go ahead and call Rob Cassidy. We'll get Rob going here, and we'll talk with you. We have not talked at all today, and that's shame on me. We have not talked at all today on Louisville being picked 6th in the Atlantic. I'm sure Ennis had a lot. We could dive into that. I haven't done enough ACC research. The media is rarely right. If we wanted the argument of they're not 6th, they're 5th, if you guys want to have that argument, I'm fine. I'm willing to concede that they're 5th. Okay, they're not 6th. They're better than somebody else, whether that be Wake Forest, who they did beat last year, Boston College, whatever it may be. So obviously that will be used as some sort of, I would imagine, bulletin board material. We will go down that road, and I'm sure we will have that conversation. Also, some news coming down today, just nationally, as we stall here. Aaron Rodgers coming back to Green Bay, going to be working on that one-year deal. So we can pause me giving you Aaron Rodgers news from 35 minutes ago. All right, let's get Rob Cassidy. He was hanging out at the Peach Jam. I want to get his thoughts. He's from Rivals at Cassidy _ Rob. Rob, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Andy, how are you? It's good to be back, man.
Well, I'm going good, man. I know you're traveling today. Where are you going? Anywhere in particular? Anywhere fun or a little day vacation? Or what are we doing here?
Yeah, right. I wish. Actually, I'm going on vacation next Monday. I'm getting out of here. But I am actually just driving to a little weekend. So.
All right. There you go. All right. Well, there you go. Okay. So, I mean, you were seeing some of the biggest prospects over the weekend, including Jalen Duren. Obviously, that's one reason I wanted to have you on. You know, we talked so much about Duren, and then we talked Kofi Coburn. And then Kofi Coburn goes back to Illinois and Brad Underwood. And now Jalen Duren is still kind of out there. You wrote a little bit about it this weekend. Like, Kentucky's there, but they're nowhere near the leader. How should I be talking about him as, you know, at some point here a decision is going to be imminent?
Yeah, I think if Kentucky's going to make a move, it's going to have to be a big one and pretty soon, because talking to everybody that I talked to at Peach Jam, it seems like this is a Memphis-Miami situation. I mean, you guys know that Miami's got his old AAU coach on staff, which is the oldest move in the basketball book. Miami feels like it's them in Memphis from talking to them, and Memphis feels like it's them. So if anybody's overconfident here, I think it's Memphis. But I think Kentucky is kind of running in third right now.
If he goes to Miami, that will soothe Kentucky fans, will it not? Knowing that he went with the old AAU coach, the oldest trick in the book. I mean, that was some of the James Wiseman stuff didn't upset Kentucky fans because of the Penny Hardaway relationship. Cade Cunningham there at Oklahoma State didn't bother Kentucky fans like, let's say, Zion Williamson bothered Kentucky fans. And I feel like the same might be true here with Jalen Duren.
Yeah, because you can kind of rationalize it, right? And, you know, in my mind, I think that if it's not the pro route, it's going to be Miami, regardless of how confident Memphis is. And, you know, Kentucky fans, you know, they can – at least they don't have to see him, you know, also.
Yeah.
You know, if he's out there, which is good for them. I think, you know, I think we'll get a decision here pretty soon. I fully expect him to reclassify as well. I think wherever he does commit, whether it be a college or the pro route, he's going to end up being in the class of 2021. So he'll be moving out of the rankings and moving to that class, I think. That's kind of the word on the street.
How much of a beast was he over the weekend?
You know, he's one of these dudes where, you know, he's an absolute animal. But he's also one of these dudes that, like, you're watching him and sometimes you feel like, man, he's not going real well. He's missing a lot of bunnies. Like, this isn't usually him. And then you look down at the stat sheet, he's got 6 blocks and 10 rebounds and 13 points. And you're like, oh, that's a bad game for him. Which is... is really saying something. And, you know, he's, you know, a lot of it, he's just so physically developed too. And you know, he's willing. He's a willing rebounder and a willing defender. And he's just, you know, a man amongst boys out there.
Rob Cassidy with us here. He's from Rivals National Basketball, reporter at Cassidy underscore Rob, if you want to follow him on this Monday on ESPN 680 1057. Before maybe a couple other Kentucky and Louisville things, what were the big picture things that got accomplished here within the last month, month and a half? Peach Jam, whatever parameters you want to use in the development, in the recruiting world, what are some of the main takeaways here?
You know, it's always interesting to go to Peach Jam and see, you know, you show up and you watch a guy like Duren and all these coaches are in the gym watching him. And then you've got a guy like the point guard Ortega Otwell who kind of takes over games. You know, he was a guy that didn't have a ton of offers going in. And now people are starting to take notice. Now Kentucky and Louisville aren't really in the market for a guy like him, but, you know, he's going to start getting looks from these bigger programs now. And that's always kind of what I'd like to see, is when these college coaches will package him to watch an Amani Bates or watch a Jalen Duren or watch a Mikey Williams. And some kid that's kind of over the radar, like Ortega, you know, scores 22 points in back-to-back games, and all of a sudden he's got 50.
Rob Cassidy with us here on ESPN 680 1057. Did you see, was Chris Beard there? If he was he glowing? Did he have a halo over his head? Because he's been the talk. He's going to be a problem, obviously, around here now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran into him actually on the first day I was there. Him and one of the assistants were sitting courtside watching, I think, Casey Wallace, who's a point guard that they're interested in, that Kentucky actually offered after the game. In his burnt orange, and I didn't have a chance to talk to him, but man, what a mess this is going to be, just in general. I'm blown away by the fact that they were able to keep this a secret for as long as they were.
Oh, the realignment.
Beard had no idea. Beard must have had no idea, because if you tell a coach anything, they're worse than we are. Like, there is no keeping secret.
So, well, what do you think? Because I mean, some of the basketball stuff's not bad, right? Like Kansas ends up in a fine spot, or you know, the Big 12 beefs up a couple others, but you know, Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. Football is one thing, but people that care about hoops, to me, I'm like, okay, I at least once a year I'm going to get Calipari versus Chris Beard. I'm here for that, given that they're going to be recruiting some of the same kids.
Yeah, no, that's going to be great. And you know, you think even Oklahoma has got a pretty proud basketball lineage and a good team. And the SEC is already, you know, when you look at teams, you know, if the Big 12 was the best conference over the last decade, I think you can make an argument that it was. You can make an argument that the SEC's trajectory was in that direction.
Oklahoma
and Texas. Yeah. Now you add them on top of an upstart Alabama with, you know, and some of these teams that have kind of come a long way in the last 5 years, and it starts to kind of look like a monster.
Yeah, no, I'm exactly with you. Speaking of Kentucky, and Rob Cassidy with us, I just want to hit on Kentucky and Louisville, anything, obviously, over the weekend. On the Kentucky side, you mentioned Wallace, what Nick Smith getting obviously a lot of looks, getting getting an offer there. Is it Lively? I mean, what's Kentucky trying to accomplish as they bring in Orlando Antigua? What sort of happenings here over the last 10 days to a couple weeks have you seen from them?
Well, you know, Nick Smith is, you know, we have him drafted underranked. You want to talk about a kid that had a great Peach Jam. That, you know, I think we have him as the number 30 player in the country, and, you know, he's closer to 15, probably. So I understand why that offer came. And, you know, the timing of the Wallace offer is interesting. Just because, you know, I don't know how they see him, if they see him, if they want to play him on ball or off the ball. I like the kid. He's an incredible defender with a great motor. But I kind of see him as a little bit more of a project as some of these other guys that they've offered, like a Smith and some of the others.
Anything Louisville over the weekend? Do you know Ross McMaines by any chance? Have you had any conversations with Ross McMaines?
I've not spoken to Ross McMaines. I didn't really encounter anything Louisville. You know, one of the things that was kind of bad about this year is because of the COVID protocols, we weren't technically allowed to talk to the players. Now, I talked to some of them, even though I wasn't supposed to, in the lobby. But, like, the interviews were limited. So it was a lot of talking to coaches and a lot of talking to AAU coaches as well. But the players were kind of off limits, so it was kind of hard to take the temperature of what guys were thinking. Now, this week I'm going to the NBA Top 100 camp, where I'm sure there will be plenty of Louisville interest in Orlando. And, you know, interviews will be back there.
How mad are you at Team USA right now?
You know,
are you mad at Popovich? Who are you mad at?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm mad. Well, what is it? Like your dad says, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I don't know. It's almost like these guys, and I know this is a cop-out, I don't think it's the rest of the world is catching up as much as you need role players on a team. Like, you can't have a team like this that everybody thinks they're the alpha. Most guys, they, you know, if, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I got to watch the France game. I didn't see either of the exhibitions because I was busy, but something's fundamentally broken here.
Did you pay for Peacock? Did you pay for Peacock?
Yeah, well, I pay for Peacock because I'm an English Premier League fan. So
Yeah. That's what I figured. Yeah, yeah. I did not have Peacock, but I bent the knee at 7:57 on Saturday morning. I bent the knee instead of getting one of these illegal streams. You know, which you know would have been.
What a money hungry scam too. Like,
oh yeah, it's so American. It's, hey, you can watch this, but you got to pay $5. Thanks.
And not only can you watch it to pay $5. You have to watch it, and you're going to be 3 minutes behind Twitter, so you're already going to know what happens.
ESPN was putting up the score. I had to turn. You know, you couldn't have ESPN on. They were putting up the score every 35 seconds because it was a close game and everything. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll just get me all fired up about capitalism.
No, I know. There we go. Let's leave it at that. You're going to get me all fired up about capitalism. That's a great place to leave it. I'm kidding. Rob, always appreciate the time. Rob Cassidy from Rivals. Safe travels. We'll talk with you down the road. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Anytime.
All right. Thank you. Rob Cassidy with us here on this Monday. It's ESPN 680 105.7. There you go. Sorry we did not ask about Indiana. Who was Mike Woodson looking at?
They got that commit on Friday.
They did.
The kid that's in like the 140s.
Oh, the kid that I texted you and Strebel about?
Yep.
You sure he was in the 140s?
It was something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if it was that high. I would have to go back and look. To see if that was the case. So there you go, little Rob Cassidy on a Monday. Well, let's take a break. Jason Anderson's going to join us in about 25 minutes. We'll have some fun with all of this. The Blankenbaker sound, we will play that at the top of the hour. We have all sorts of nonsense here as we get you to 6 o'clock. One more hour to go on this Monday.